I have another, hopefully a brief word study today. wait, when I say that, people laugh.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That goes back a long, long time ago. But so our word for today is another Greek compound word. It's cat or katartizo. Katartizo. We're going to see it. It can kind of take on two meanings. It kind of can have the idea of mending or restoring, but it can also have the idea of equipping or qualifying. And so we're going to talk about this. And so it's kind of a fun word. It only occurs 13 times in the New Testament. I'm not going to try and hit all of those. I'm just going to hit a few that are kind of fun, illustrate the meaning of the word. And it is interesting when you start to look at the root of this word. So katartizo, you know, that's a Greek compound word with kata and artizo. And we do, and that's a verb, by the way. And so it has the idea to, let me just give some definitions before we continue. It has the idea to adjust thoroughly or to qualify fully. And then it can also, it has the idea to repair, to make good, to restore. So you'll see it in that sense used of, it's used of mending nets, of fishing nets. We'll take a look at that. And then we see it over in Galatians 6:1, where this word is translated for one that's spiritual, the potential to restore one, as the King James translates it, who's overtaken in a trespass. This is that word that we'll be looking at. We see it in a few other places where it has the idea to qualify fully, to elevate to a complete standard. We'll take a look at some of those uses also. When we take a look at the root of this word, we do have another verb where we have ek artizo. And so ek, so it's a different Greek preposition and compound with it. And that only occurs twice in the New Testament. And I'm going to go there to illustrate at the root of this word, because over in 2 Timothy 3:17, we have ek, artizo, and then we have the adjective artios in the same verse, which is comes from the same root, which has the idea to, I think the King James translates it perfect, but it has the idea to complete, to make adequate, to exactly fit. To adapt. So we'll start off looking at the root of in this adjective and this other verb that carries the same root in 2 Timothy 3:17, and then we'll expand to a couple other places we could look at the root, and then we'll just survey through a couple of passages of the 13 where we actually have our verb katartizo. So that's kind of what we have planned for today, for this afternoon. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the day. We're thankful for your word. We're grateful for opportunities we have to be with one another, to be in your word. And we just pray your spirit would guide and direct. May he bless in this time, and we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17. And again, this isn't the actual word we're looking at for today, but we're looking at an adjective and a verb that have the same root. And so in 2 Timothy 3:17, now let me read 3:16. We'll grab the context. All scripture, King James reads, is given by inspiration of God. It's just one Greek word that translates that those last five words. It's God breathed. And so all scripture as the character and quality is God breathed. Paul coined this term, by the way. And then we see it's, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then verse 17, now we get down to the verse where we have the root of our word twice. We have it once in an adjective where the King James translates it perfect or perfect. It says that the man of God may be perfect. This is artios. This is the adjective. It has the idea of exactly fitted, the idea of adapted or fitted. I think your New American Standard translates this adjective adequate. If you have a New King James, they translate the word complete. And so here we see in order that the man of God may be exactly fitted or adapted. There's a lot of ways we could go with this adjective. Now, as we continue on, we're going to come up to the verb. And so this verb, it's in a perfect passive participle, if anybody is interested in the grammar of that. But it says thoroughly furnished. And so that's our verb in a perfect passive participle. So the idea of having been thoroughly furnished, having been fitted exactly, just fitted out, if you wanted to try and grab that ek preposition in this compound, just having been fitted out unto all or every good work.
Chris.
Yeah.
The reader says fully qualified.
Yeah. And so we'll see that's a, so that goes back to the root, the idea to, becoming fully qualified, is a flavor in some of this root. And so we will see that because before we go to our actual word, we have two nouns in the Greek New Testament that come from this root. And it's katartizis, tisis, and then katartismos. And they're both hapoxes in the Greek New Testament. So we're going to look at two nouns. So our word is katartizo, to adjust thoroughly or to qualify fully. I like the, those are just from Thomas Sheldon Green's little lexicon, by the way. I've got others here, but Thomas Sheldon Green, I think he says to qualify fully, to elevate to a complete standard. And so that's an interesting little nuance to the definition that I think if we carry that forward in some of these occurrences. But we also see it can be used, this word katartizo, to repair, to make good, to restore. But before we go to our actual verb, I want to go to these two nouns that are based upon our verb. And our first one is katartisis. And so we see this, it only occurs one time in the Greek New Testament. And it's over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 13, 9. And so the King James is going to translate it here, perfection, even your perfection. Now, do I have, and I'm sorry, I didn't write down what the New American Standard does there or the New King James. But let's just go ahead and read our verse. But so this noun, though, katartisis, it has the idea of being made complete. It looks at adequacy. And so you're becoming fully qualified. To bring in the adjustment part of it, it has the, it's an adjustment resulting in adequacy. And so it's a complete adjustment or a thorough adjustment. And so as we look at this verse, 13:9. So Paul says, for we are glad, it's our word for rejoice, when we are weak and you are strong. And this also says we wish. It's a word for vow. But here we come to our word, even your perfection. Even your perfection, even your becoming fully qualified, being made complete or thoroughly adjusted, resulting in adequacy. And so you can see why the King James would translate it perfection. Now, the interlinear, they kind of go more with the restoration nuance of this word, that this new word, they actually suggest your restoration. Even your restoration. But it is a thorough adjusting that results in something. And so a thorough adjusting that results in one becoming fully qualified, or we could say adequate. Now, we have another noun that's this exact same root and different form, though, katartismos. And it's, again, it's a hapax, and so it only occurs one time. And so I thought, well, let's go ahead and look at these nouns. It just gives us a little insight into how the root is used. Now, this word is found over in Ephesians 4:12, and this is dealing with spiritual gifts. And so let's go to Ephesians 4:12. Now, the King James is going to translate this word here, perfecting. Now, the New American Standard, now I did make this note here, the New American Standard and the New King James both translated equipping. And so let me just back up into verse 11. We can see this tied into these teachings, spiritual gifts, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, even teachers. And now we see this noun translated for the perfecting of the saints. And so it's pros, towards, for, that's fine, just towards, or for the perfecting of the saints, the complete adjusting of the saints, or the thoroughly equipping of the saints. And so this is a process that's expressed with this noun of an adjustment that results in a complete preparedness. So there's a preparedness that's involved with this adjustment. And so the idea of equipping, now I like to add the qualifier, thorough equipping, because of the compound word in the Greek. This is a thorough equipping or a thorough adjusting. And so just till we, coming back to verse 12, for the perfecting or the thorough adjusting, the thorough equipping of the saints for a work of ministry. To the edifying, the idea of edifying is the building up of the body. So you're seeing how these spiritual gifts have a part in the building up of the body for the complete preparedness of the saints. So there's some uses of the root that can, I think, kind of help us as we look at some of these other occurrences of our word katartizo. Now, I did mention it can carry the concept of to restore, to make whole, to restore, to repair, to make good. And so we can illustrate this back in Matthew, where Jesus is calling, in this context, he's calling two of his disciples to follow him. And so over in Matthew 4:21, so here we illustrate the nuance of the root of this word to restore, to make good, to repair, to make adequate, to grab that concept. to make adequate. And so I can relate to this illustration because having done a little bit of commercial fishing and dealing with big nets, you know, one of the responsibility for, we were called deckhands, meant we were low on the totem pole. And so if you were higher on the totem pole, when you got done with the catch, and so we were commercial fishing at night when I was doing this, in the middle of the night, we could start fishing at midnight. And we would come in the next morning and park at the canneries, wait for them to open if we caught our limit early. But the deckhands, we didn't get to relax and rest. You know, if you were up higher on the totem pole, you could do that. But the deckhands, you were busy. And so one of the things we had to do is, you know, get the nets in order. And so sometimes we had to mend the nets. And so all we were trying to do is, you know, stitch up basically the tears in the nets to make them adequate again you know, for the next night. And so here in Matthew 4 and verse 21, we see, well, we'll just drop in, and our word is just translated mending, mending. And so, and going on from there, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And so here our word, it's just translated mending. This is katartizo, mending. It has the idea of restoring, setting right, making adequate. These are, this is the concept of how this word is used in this context. And so you can see an illustration, you know, I said there's 13 occurrences of this word. You have the exact same thing recorded over in Mark 1:19. And so there's two of the 13 right there. Now, I said we're not going to look at all 13. I got a little bit of a late start. So I do want to stay within our time frame. So let's look at a couple other places where we can illustrate this word. And let's go to Luke chapter 6, and verse 40 is where we have our word. Now, Jesus, he's going to speak a parable to his disciples here. And so in Luke 6, and verse 39, now verse 40 is where we're going to have our word. Now, the King James here translates our word is perfect. It says, everyone that is perfect. Let me look at what your other translations do. Now, your New American Standard is going to translate this word here, has been fully trained. And just let me take a look at the New King James, because I know there's a few that carry the New King James, but everyone who is perfectly trained. So you've got three different translations there. But let's go ahead and pick this up in a little bit of context. And so coming back to 6:39, and he spoke a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above, King James says master, it's just a word for teacher. So the disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master or his teacher. Everyone that is, so that's the King James, everyone that is perfect. And it's actually, it's a perfect passive participle. So it's actually the idea of a state of being equipped or qualified. And so he's just saying the disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone that is in a state of having been thoroughly qualified or thoroughly equipped shall be as his teacher. And so you can see why some of the translations with the idea of the teacher and the disciple, though they add the word trained there, it's based more on context than it actually is the root of the word. But here you see this idea, and we bring in the concept of, you know, being equipped or thoroughly qualified, shall be as similar to his teacher. Now let's go to a couple other places. Over in 1 Corinthians, you know, it's interesting that the Corinthians, their spiritual state, when you think of, you know, the Corinthians, you know, you probably, you know, are reminded that you have predominantly a carnal group. And so their spiritual state of the believers at Corinth, that was in stark contrast to their exalted position in Christ. And so as we come to 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, we're going to see our word used in verse 10. And so in 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now let me take a look. Okay. Let me see if I can grab what these different translations are doing here. So the King James, if you're reading 1 Corinthians 1:10, you're going to see it translated that you be, it's translated perfectly joined together. You don't have a soon compound in this word. You don't have a soon. And so this perfectly joined together, probably not the translation I would choose if I was translating here. But let's look at a couple of the other translations. New American Standard translates that you be made complete. So that kind of at least gets to the root concept of this word, to be made complete. Unfortunately, the New King James keeps the same concept of the King James, is that you may be perfectly joined together. So anyway, if you're looking at any of those translations, you know what the English is doing. And so let's go ahead and read this in the King James. So, you know, Paul is leaning on him here. And so he says, I beseech you. I beseech you. Now, beseech you here, beseech is just from the Greek word para kaleo. And so there's different concepts to this word. It could be the idea of when someone's leaning on somebody, that's an exhorting. They're leaning, they're exhorting. The same word can be used in another sense of comforting, by the way. But Paul definitely here is leaning. And so I would translate this beseeching. He's exhorting. If you wanted to be neutral on how you understood this word, you could translate it encourage. Encourage. But he says, I beseech you, brethren. I'm exhorting you, brethren. So he's leaning. He's leaning into this a little bit. And he says, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the by here, it's a dia, it's a through. It's through the agency of the name, the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that gives a little bit of weight to this lean when he's leaning through the character of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. And so here we see, as I mentioned, the spiritual state of being, many of them being carnal, that would be a strong contrast to their position in Christ. And so you see how that's going to fit in here. He says, and that there be no divisions among you. So divisions, this is schismata, that there be no, that there should be no schisms. The idea of schisms is the idea of tears, you know, a rip or a tear in the cloth. But the cloth is still whole. Now, so when there's a schism in the cloth, there's separation, but the cloth is still whole. But if that tear is allowed to continue, it can turn into clits, And then ultimately you have the breaking off of these cliques. These were works of the flesh that were being played out in this group. And so he's leaning on them that there be no divisions or schisms among you. But now we get to our word, but rather that you may be perfectly joined together. Now that's the King James. And it's here our word is actually a perfect passive participle. So remember, the perfect is identifying something that's happened with abiding results. And so sometimes if you hear somebody in our group using the term in a state of, they're usually reflecting a perfect being used. If something has happened and there's an ongoing state. And so here he says that you be perfectly joined together. It's the idea that in order that you may be in a state of having been thoroughly adjusted, or we could say having been thoroughly equipped. And then he goes on. He says in the same mind and in the same opinion. And so what he's really getting at is these carnal Christians were not functioning in the provisions of grace that they had in Christ. And so these works were playing out in the group, and they were creating some schisms and some cliques. And so we could go on further here, but it's interesting, you know, because the King James would certainly lead you to think a different Greek word if you were trying to reverse translate this from the King James. When the King James says that you be perfectly joined together. Well, there's actually a subjunctive I me in here, which has the idea that you may be in a state of having been thoroughly equipped or adjusted. In the same mind and in the same, the word judgment, I just translate that opinion, in the same opinion. So anyway, an interesting use there. We're going to go to another one in the other Corinthian epistle, in 2 Corinthians, in Paul's concluding remarks in 2 Corinthians. And so in chapter 13 and verse 11, and so here if you have a King James, you're going to see our word translated be perfect. The New King James actually changes the translation to become complete. Your New American Standard is be made complete. And so those are all translations of our word here. And these are present passive. So present is emphasizing continuous action. Passive, something else is doing the action. And an imperative, a strong suggestion. And so, you know, be perfect or become complete. It's a passive voice, I guess, is what I wanted to point out here. And so when we come to this verse in the King James anyway, finally, brethren, King James says farewell. It's just our normal word that you see translated rejoice. Have joy. It's a present. It's an active voice. Here, have joy. That's an imperative. Be having joy. I'm trying to figure out how to get that present tense in there. Be having joy and a mental appreciation for being a Christian, for whatever you're going through. You know, God's got it under control. He knows what he's doing. There's a purpose in a lot of what he's doing that we have no idea So I always say, you know, the Christian, don't get too caught up on the outcomes. We get in trouble when we're focused on outcome. When we're outcome based, boy, you know, there's a little pride can think, you know, when we start thinking we know best, boy, you know, God has it. He's got it under control. If we just focus on the process and we leave the outcomes to God, things become so much simpler. And then we can be having joy as we're filled by the Spirit. And so we can have appreciation for all of these things, even if we don't understand them, because we understand who God is and that He's got it under control. And so finally, my brethren, not farewell, but rejoice, have joy, be having joy. Now we come to our word. The King James says, be perfect. Be perfect. And it's a present passive imperative. And so it's not, this is, it almost sounds like in the King James, it's an active voice. Be perfect. it has the idea of, you know, to try and grab the nuance of our word. It's to be completely furnished. Be thoroughly equipped. Somebody else is doing the adjusting. Somebody else is doing the equipping. Somebody else is doing the furnishing. And so be continuously thoroughly equipped or furnished. And then he uses another passive. The King James here says, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. There's no good in the reflected from the Greek here. I don't think your other translations, oh, I guess I should take, I have to take that back. I look at the New King James. They kept good. The New American Standard says be comforted. That's better. That's getting the passive idea here of this word. Be continuously comforted. And, you know, I would tie that back into chapter one, the God of all comfort. You know, be comforted. Passive. Now he moves on here, and he's going to move on to some actives. And so now he moves on to some present active imperatives. And so the idea of to be completely furnished and be comforted, those are passive concepts here. And so the idea of having joy, rejoice, that's an active. Be having joy. Be completely furnished or equipped or thoroughly adjusted, be comforted. And then he says, be of one mind. That's the King James. Now, this is an active voice. It's be of the same frame of mind. The same frame of mind. And what's that frame of mind that grace is instructing us to be having? A saved frame of mind. And so we can, and this is something that the believer is active in. Be of the same frame of mind, the active voice. And then, so I'm changing all of these translations. I'm just trying to bring out the Greek. These little nuances are fun. It says, live in peace. Now, this is our verbal form for peace, be having peace. And again, this is another active voice. Present active imperative. Be having peace. Be continuously having peace. It's part of being thoroughly furnished, being thoroughly equipped. It's part of learning to live by grace. And so when he says, be having joy, be thoroughly equipped or thoroughly adjusted, be comforted and be of the same frame of mind, having peace, continuously having peace. And then the last clause, and the God of love and peace, shall be associated with you. It's meta, shall be with you. Just as it'll be associated with you. Another place where we can illustrate this word, we can kind of correct the New King James, the King James translation from any misunderstanding. If you're seeing it, it says be perfect. That sounds like a tall order. but it's has the idea of being thoroughly adjusted, being thoroughly equipped, furnished. Now we move into a verse that I mentioned earlier, and a very important verse for Christians. You know, it's always interesting, when you think about our spiritual state, and as Christians, we can be in one or the other. And so I'm talking about spiritual state. I'm not talking about maturity level. Maturity level is something that as we grow, we can become relatively more and more mature. But at any given point, we're either in a state of being carnal or spiritual. And, God supplies everything we need, by the way, to be spiritual. So if we're not spiritual, it's not because there's a lack in the provisions. When we're carnal, there's a lack in execution. They're different. The provisions are perfect. But our execution isn't always good. God expects us to be able to self-assess where we're at. And so over here in Galatians 6:1, you can see that because it says he that is spiritual. And you don't tell somebody, to do something if you can't discern. The expectation is that we can self-assess. We need to be able to self-assess. We need to be taking heed to ourselves. And so over in Galatians 6:1, now here we're going to come back to the concept of kind of like the nets, where we're talking about mending the nets, restoring the nets. Because here our word is going to be translated restore such a one. The idea of set right, mend. So, so here we can see is when we're carnal or we're in trespass. So we'll have to talk about that. It's not fault. King James translates this word fault here. We're going to retranslate that to trespass. Here, there's a number of places I'm not going to go after the sideline. But when somebody is in trespass, they are in temptation. But it's not sin yet. And so it's still in the realm of temptation. So in Galatians 6:1, Paul says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a trespass. Now, let's talk about a trespass just real quickly so we can define that. What is trespass? Well, there's unrighteousness that goes on that's not sin. And trespass would fit into that. Trespass is something that occurs in the mind. It's determining to do something, but it's not the actual doing it. And so the trespass is determining to do something that would offend God, would be against God's will. And so as believers, we end up from time to time in that place. Now, trespass can be something that can happen in a split second, and you determine to do something and you do it, and then the action can become sin, right? But sometimes you can determine to do something that would be trespass, that would be offensive to God, but you don't have opportunity yet, or maybe you haven't taken the opportunity yet. That's where the believer would be in the realm of trespass and temptation. And so here we have, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a trespass. So this person who's overtaken in trespass, he's determined to do something that would be counter to scripture or counter to the will of God. Maybe he's determining to do something without even considering the will of God. And you hear about this. But he hasn't done it yet. Well, there's still an opportunity to set right or mend. If we went back to the concept of our word with the mending of the nets, something's not right with this brethren who's determining to do something that would offend God. There's the potential, in other words, to lead this brethren or to help this brother or sister before they follow through with the action. Once the action happens and it's sin, then then that's between God and the believer. But before it gets to that point, there may be an opportunity where another believer can come alongside and help this brother or sister before the action, before the sin. That's what we're talking about here in this verse. And he says, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you which are spiritual. In other words, we talked about this already, we mentioned as a believer, you're going to be in one of two spiritual states, carnal or spiritual. So let's define those and then we'll move on. Carnal is just from the Greek word sarx, which is flesh, with an ikos ending, sarkikos. The ikos ending just helps us with that definition. It just means pertaining to or having the characteristics of the flesh. So when we're pertaining to and having the characteristics of the flesh, then it's the flesh that we end up emanating, right? That's carnal. Spiritual. It's pneuma with the ikos ending. Again, we're just going to add the ikos ending, the emphasis of in the Greek to our, with our definition. It just means pertaining to and having the characteristics of the spirit. So you've got the works of the flesh. I mean, your best list is over in Galatians 5, 19 through 21 and such like. So you have other things there. Those would be things pertaining to the flesh, the characteristics of the flesh. That's not a complete list, but that's a pretty good list. And then spiritual, pertaining to having the characteristics of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You've got the fruit from the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 and 5:23, nine aspects of the fruit from the Spirit. You can see some results of Spirit filling in other places. We should be able to self-assess. Which one are we in? It's not like you've got two canoes and you can have one foot in one and one foot in the other. You're either going to be in one or the other. But he that is spiritual, he says, you which are spiritual, he says, restore. There's our word, restore such a one. The idea, and so this is a present active, this is an active verb imperative, a strong suggestion, restore such a one. Just the idea of to set right, to mend, thoroughly adjust. You know, if we get the compound Greek has the, you know, intensifies it. That's where the thorough is coming from, by the way, when we add the word thorough. Just thoroughly adjust such a one. And now you see, though, there's further instruction on this of how this is to happen. Because there's some danger involved for the spiritual Christian in getting involved with another believer that's overtaken in a trespass. And he says, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, a spirit of meekness. So there's a number of things we could comment on here. Meekness, an aspect of the fruit from the spirit, a spirit of meekness, that fits because we're believers, we're saved in the realm of our human spirit. Remember, two immaterial parts of man, soul and spirit. The spirit is where our rational thinking takes place. It's the realm of where initial salvation takes place. It's the realm of where spirit filling takes place. And so this believer is to you know, the one that's spiritual can go forward with setting right, thorough adjusting this believer, but he does it in a spirit of meekness. Meekness is just an objectivity of mind that enables supernaturally the believer to do something, what seeing things as they really are and staying focused on the task at hand. In other words, you're going to want to do this being supernaturally enabled and directing meekness, because there's going to potentially be a lot of distractions. And so you want to see the situation for what it is and what needs to be accomplished. You don't want to get sucked into, what do you want to say, rabbit trails. You're going to have to go into this with supernatural enabling, and you're going to have to direct meekness. And so restore such a one, just thoroughly adjust such a one in the spirit of meekness. Then this is interesting. It says, considering yourself. And this is actually it's the Greek word, skopos, in a present active participle. We get our word, our English word scope. So if I translate this participle, you might be just considering yourself. It's the idea of scoping yourself. You know, when you think of scoping for hunting, you're magnifying and you're restricting your peripheral vision, and you're zeroing in on the target. Here it's scoping yourself. You better be taking heed to yourself, scoping yourself out. In other words, considering yourself, but scoping yourself, lest thou also be tempted. And so in other words, you see the potential for the spiritual Christian to get sucked in through potential rabbit trails, just the nature of the situation to be sucked in. And now it's dangerous grounds, in other words, for the Christian. So the spiritual Christian goes into this, realizes, hey, this isn't, don't go in there, you know, puffed up. You better go in there seeing things as they really are and recognizing this is potentially dangerous. I could get sucked into this and I could end up being in temptation. And so that's where that meekness comes in. But so this word for restore, though, this is our word to be thoroughly adjusting, to be setting right, mending. Kind of the idea here. So I know I'm running out of time. There's a lot of other fun illustrations with this word, but let me just let's just pick out a couple that I can do here. I'll just try to prioritize a couple. Let's go over to Hebrews and the closing of Hebrews in chapter 13. And so we're going to have our word translated, make you perfect, in Hebrews 13:21. Hebrews 13:21. Now I'm throwing some Greek at you. I don't expect, that you're actively involved in trying to learn Greek, but I'm trying to bring out some of the nuances. So if I do throw some Greek at you, you don't necessarily need to know the Greek, but when I do that, hopefully I'm going to tell you what it means. And so here, our verb that's translated in Hebrews 13:1, make you perfect. Your New American Standards, by the way, it translates it, equip you. So that's right and long in the lines of the nuance of our root, to equip you. New King James, make you complete. In the Greek, what we have in this verb, it's an aorist active optative. And so this optative, I'm going to tell you why I'm even mentioning this, is an optative expresses a desire or a wish. And it's based on a contingency, but it's a desire or a wish from the person's perspective who's speaking here. And so in Hebrews 13:21, when he uses our word, he's using the optative verb to express a desire or wish for these saints. Now let's back up to verse 20 to get a little bit of context. And so I believe this is Paul. He says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again out from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, not through, but by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect." The idea that thoroughly adjust you, or the idea with the New American Standard, they go with the equip, the concept. And I don't mind that translation. I would prefer to add thoroughly, just to emphasize the Greek compound word, just thoroughly equip you. The idea of equipping you, remember that's thoroughly equipping towards fully qualifying. So may he thoroughly equip you, thoroughly adjust you in every good. Now I do believe we have a textual variant that could be every good thing or every good work. But just may he thoroughly adjust you or equip you, fully qualify you in every good work to do his will. Working in you, or just doing in you, that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom is glory, just unto the ages of the ages. Amen. And so, you know, this, the expression of this desire of the author, I believe Paul, for these Hebrew believers is that, the God of peace would be thoroughly adjusting and equipping that they would be fully qualified in every good work to be doing his will. That's quite a beautiful thing that the author is expressing there. And thoroughly adjusting or thoroughly equipping. Now let's go ahead and we'll look at one more here. And our last occurrence that we're going to look at today anyway, that we find over in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. And so you're right, that's right in the section where Peter's been talking about resisting the devil. And there can be some suffering involved with that. You know, when we're under satanic attack, you know, it's not a pleasant thing. And as a matter of fact, when I think of satanic attack and the believer resisting satanic attack, you know, I think of oppressive. It's oppressive, you know, going through that. But you know, God's grace is sufficient, and thankfully we have been thoroughly equipped where we, when we execute the defense correctly, we can resist and he will flee. And so let me just drop into 1 Peter, because our verse, by the way, did I say that? It's 1 Peter 5:10. And, but in 5:9, just so you can see the context, well, let's just pick up in 5:9, you can see. He's coming off of this, you know, dealing with resisting the devil. So in 1 Peter 5:9, talking about the devil, whom resists steadfast, the idea of steadfast is as firm ones, steadfast ones, by the faith. And I would translate not in the faith, but by the faith. That's how you're going to resist. There's a body of doctrine of how we can resist. And then victory, what does victory mean when we're engaged with Satan? Well, we're supernaturally resisting by the provisions of grace, and then Satan leaves. That's victory. And so whom resists steadfast by the faith, knowing that the same, not afflictions, but it's our word for sufferings, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And so it's interesting. There's, you see the idea, the concept of suffering tied in with satanic attack. Now in verse 10, he says, but the God of all grace. And, but the God, just may the God of all grace, who called us unto his eternal glory, not by Christ Jesus, but in Christ Jesus. And so the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory. Glory has the root concept of opinion, in Christ Jesus. He says, after that you had suffered a while, just a little while, just after you have suffered a little while. Now the King James, here's our word. It says, make you perfect. There's a textual variation, so I'll mention it here, whether our particular word is in the optative voice or the future. The words following it are all in the future tense. They're not optatives. And so I think the weight seems to go with understanding this as a future. And so just what he's saying here is, after that you have suffered a little while, will himself thoroughly adjust you. The idea of make you perfect, this is our word, to thoroughly adjust. Now remember, this thoroughly adjusting, it's not just just to give an adjustment. It has the idea to thoroughly adjust, to elevate to a complete standard. You might think about this when you think of suffering, by the way. Suffering for the Christian, it has a purpose in God's plan and purpose for the believers. You know, as somebody who used to do a lot of iron work, forging, blacksmithing, is working with steel, it's not an easy thing to mold it, to shape it, to adjust it. And so we use what's called a forge. And that forge makes the steel, when you get it yellow hot to orange hot, it makes it moldable. The steel actually becomes more plastic. And so it can be shaped, it can be molded, it can be adjusted, it can be changed easier. It's always a mistake. Young blacksmiths have to learn this lesson is, you have to hit it while the iron's hot. And you can make a mistake of, going to the anvil and working the steel. You need to recognize when it gets cool, you need to stop working and get it back into the forge. And, when you start studying the concept of suffering for the believer, God gets us to a place when he allows things in our life where we're a little more easy to be adjusted. It's easier for him to adjust us. We can see that, there's so many things that we can, where we need thorough adjusting. And so you can see, but coming back to 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a little while, will himself thoroughly adjust you, just elevate you to a complete standard. That's by the way, I'm just taking Green's definition there when I did that. And then he goes on, the idea to establish you, you know, to confirm you, stabilize you, strengthen you, and settle you. The idea of settle you is to just to found you. Settle you is not bad. And so, you know, you can see how suffering, I mean, there's things that we could do. Let's just go back. I'll grab some previous context just to connect what I'm saying in 1 Peter 4:12. He says, beloved, think it not strange. You know, stop being surprised concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing or surprising thing has happened unto you. He says, but rather rejoice. The idea of have joy, inasmuch as you are partakers of the Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad, and there's our word to rejoice, be having joy and mental appreciation, also with exceeding joy or just exceeding exaltation. You know, and so we can look at whatever God allows in our life, whatever it is that we have to go through, we can trust that God has a purpose. And sometimes that purpose can be in growing us and thoroughly adjusting us. You know, we start to see that, you know, as we're thoroughly furnished, we're thoroughly equipped, we can be useful. If we're in the right condition, we can be useful. We can participate in potentially restoring, you know, a brethren who's overtaken in a trespass or whatever it may be that God would have for us. And for us to be able to see those things, those good works that God has for us, whatever they are, big or small, could be a phone call tomorrow. Those are the best of the best privileges. Those are the things we should be valuing the most. And so anyway, kind of an interesting little word. I had to cut it short, cut some corners. Hopefully you were able to pick up some of the nuances of catartizo, the idea to adjust or to put in order again. You know, the idea there is to repair or to restore. But then it also carries that concept in other contexts of becoming thoroughly adjusted or, you know, completely adjusted, where that adjustment results in an adequacy. And so then we become thoroughly or completely or fully qualified. And so this is something that God is working in our lives as we put the Christian life into practice. And so I guess grace, it's all grace, complete grace. You know, the more we understand grace, the more we understand about our position in Christ. And we've got it all already in Christ. Complete redemption, sanctification, righteousness. So we can rest from our own works because God has already taken care of everything of importance. And we can be focused on living in light of what God has already accomplished on our behalf through the person and work of our Lord and Savior. Let's close. Father, thank you for this day. We're thankful for your word. We're grateful for truth, the opportunity to relate to it and begin to see things more and more the way you see things. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit who illumines our minds to these things. May we be those that are continually putting into practice what we've been allowed to know and learn. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.